Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all-new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. Jeff, how the hell are you?
I feel like I needed to calm down a little bit after last week and discussing, you know, the screw job. And so I'm actually looking forward to kind of just a straightforward Hell in the Cell match this week. You know, what more could you ask for on this one?
Yeah, you know, that was like emotionally taxing.
We really were. We were. It's been a long time and we were into that one. Yeah.
It was one of the hardest episodes to cover because there's just so many things to talk about and so many things going on and on screen, off screen, you know, our opinions of the situation, how you would book it differently. So that was a lot of fun. We're covering two guys that had a lot of chemistry in the ring. Like, I think you could look at these two and say, well, how good could their matches be, right? Like, kind of like two big guys, but they've always had awesome matches. I don't know if I've ever seen this match or not. I'm really excited to cover it, though. Why did we pick it?
Yeah, and so that's just one of those, like we said, that this kind of, you know, it's Survivor Series time. I think that I really don't have a great answer for why we're covering this one other than, you know, I said I was, you know, fairly well received from what I was kind of reading. I know that, decent little build that this was going on for quite a while as well, too. So I think that it's just kind of a, hey, you know, some weeks I have good reasons, for good reasons, for bad reasons. This is just one, you know, I don't have a great reason. It's just we're doing it. And that's how it is.
Well, let's get into it, man. You pumped?
I am excited for this one. We got two future Hall of Famers. I feel like I love covering Batista. I think he's got, you know, we don't cover enough of his matches. So I made sure that, you know, we've got some slated and stuff like that. You know, I feel like we can talk about Undertaker all day. And so, yeah, I'm excited for both these guys.
Cool. Well, let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
Survivor Series 2007. We went from 1997 to 2007. We are in Miami, Florida, November 18th, American Airlines Arena. I've been there before. Beautiful setting right there on the water near all the cruise ships. We start this show off with an ECW Championship triple threat. CM Punk is going to retain his title against John Morrison and The Miz.
Sure.
They're all still active, I guess. Maybe. Yep. I don't know.
Yep.
A 10 Diva tag team match. This is not a Survivor Series match. I'll just quickly name the participants. Kelly, Maria, Michelle McCool, Mickey James, and Tori Wilson defeating Beth Phoenix, Jillian Hall, Layla, Melina, and Victoria. Most women probably haven't wrestled their last match because they'll at least do another Royal Rumble.
That 5-minute reel, giving the women the attention they deserve. Like, good job, guys. Yep.
Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch retaining their tag team championships against Cody Rhodes and Hardcore Holly.
What a battle. Yeah.
I did not know that Cody Rhodes and Hardcore Holly were ever a tag team.
Yep.
Then we get the only Survivor Series match on the show, a 4-on-5 match, Team Triple H. Triple H, Jeff Hardy, Kane, and Rey Mysterio defeating Team Umaga. Umaga, Big Daddy V, Finley, Mr. Kennedy, and MVP. That match had to have absolutely sucked, and no one could have possibly cared about it. The Great Khali defeated Hornswoggle, who was accompanied by Vince and Shane McMahon. Okay. Randy Orton defeated Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels would have lost the match if he tried to use Sweet Chin Music. But if Orton would have been disqualified, he would have lost the title to Michaels. Okay.
Sure.
And then our main event. So the main event was really the only thing on this show that was good. And you'll get into the build. So, Jeff, how do we get to these two battling inside the Hell in a Cell?
Yeah, and so for this one, Survivor Series, of course, these guys really since WrestleMania 23, of course, well, you know, in my hometown of Detroit, you had Undertaker beating Batista for the World Heavyweight Championship on that one. And so really these guys had a lot of different matches over that entire 2007. And so this was really their feud for that year. Now, you also had Edge getting involved at some points too. Edge actually winning the title from The Undertaker. It was that May after WrestleMania, cashing in his Money in the Bank contract to beat The Undertaker. And so Undertaker injured though after this. And so, Edge injured. And so vacated the title at this one. It was actually the Great Khali winning a battle royal for the vacant championship on this one. Who could forget the great title run of the Great Khali in 2007. And so we have that. And so it's actually Unforgiven, Batista beating Khali for that belt, and Undertaker returning after that match. And so this kind of restarted the feud after that Unforgiven, and getting back into it. Of course, we had the singles match at Cyber Sunday, which we just recently covered between these guys. Batista actually winning that one, having the special enforcer on that match as well too. And then just rebooking this, it was kind of the escalation for these guys that they had had a couple matches up to this point. Of course, they were at, you know, at Mania. We had the Cyber Sunday match with the special enforcer, and then just the escalation. Can't contain them, need it in Hell in a Cell. Here we go, between Batista and The Undertaker at this Survivor Series. So really just kind of a continuation of what they had been doing through most of 2007 through injuries and things like that. I talk about Edge because we'll talk about Edge a little bit afterwards as well in this one. And so I say a tight build in regards to explaining it, but these guys, 2007 was their year. These guys were wrestling a lot that year.
Yeah, and everything they did was good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It really was. God, Taker was like more or less still full time at this point.
Yeah.
Like, you forget how long he was full time. And again, I know there were some injuries and stuff along the way. I don't remember. I don't know the exact year, but let's call him full time from like 90 to 2010. I mean, he was full time for like two decades with his frame. Wrestling long matches, traveling, did a ton of travel.
Yeah, I wonder, like, and we could talk about it after too, but these guys just had some chemistry. We said that before when we talked about their match as well too. I think these guys probably liked working with each other too. Like, you know, you had big meaty men, bumping meat, you know, as Big E likes to say, and this is what that is, a lot of that. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, just kind of these guys, hey, it's sometimes what you need. They got some chemistry backstage. They got some chemistry when they go out there. They just kind of know what they're doing. And so, and if that's all it takes, or sometimes that is all it takes. And so, let's just get into it.
So Survivor Series 2007, we're at the 2 hour and 22 minute mark. 2 hours, 22 minutes. Taker is entering the Omnia structure,
30 feet tall, like unrelenting. Like,
let's get into it. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
Any better than this, and it's appropriate that the Dead Man slams the Hell in a Cell door shut. It will be locked. You win by.
He is so wrestling again.
Yeah, I've said it. Like, I know I cut shit for it every time I put it online. It is happening. We will see it again.
I will keep saying it. He is absolutely wrestling again.
And I just cut that clip again on TikTok where he was talking. He's like, yeah, I just hadn't been in the ring in a long time. And it just, you know, it kind of caught up to me and stuff like that. Like, he could be training right now and we have no clue about it in, you know, somewhere down in Texas, and he's just doing his thing and we're going to see him. I don't know if it'll be Mania. You figure, like, you know, part of me wonders, like, you know, Vince used to rely on him a lot more. And so who knows if, you know, Triple H feels the same way. I feel like Triple H has definitely done a better job of trying to build some of these younger guys. But hey, like, you know, I said it, like, let's let Bray be the supernatural for the next 20 years. Like, let's see that happen. Like, you know, I'd be perfectly okay with that. So we won't get that, but like, you know, hey, I'd still be okay with it too.
Yeah, you know, what's funny is, like, I know we're still like a ways off, but and obviously I'm not far from where WrestleMania will be in LA. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to go.
Are you?
And it might just be like an in and out, like I'll drive there, you know, maybe only go for one night if, you know, one card's significantly better than the other. Like, I don't think I'm going to do like the four night, you know, crazy expensive, go to Raw, go to Smack. But here's the problem. Like, if they do the Hall of Fame at SmackDown and Vince gets inducted, kind of want to go to that.
Yep.
If I go to one night, do I want to go to both? I don't know, man. It's just like, it's gotten to the point where it's a lot harder to, I mean, it's always been a long commitment, but now I'm just like, shit, man. Like, it's like, if you're going to go, do you just go for everything? I don't know, man. I don't know.
And we're not getting any younger, so it's harder.
I also may sit in my basement and watch all of it and be perfectly fine.
Well, and anymore, I think, you know, I think I've said this before, it's about the TV production of it. Like, you know, yes, being there in person, it is something to experience. And, you know, but on the flip side, like the spectacle is made for TV. And so, you know, the things that are missed, you know, sitting on the couch that, you know, you would, you know, there's both sides to the coin on that one too. And so there is something to be said for both of them though. And, yeah, especially, you know, you got to wonder too, like Batista, like he's done with the Guardians movies. Like he is that Hall of Famer that hasn't actually gone into the hall yet. Like same with Taker, like, does he want one more match? Like, I think he was pretty happy with how he did go out. And so I'm more likely to believe actually the Taker versus, Batista, you know, also like, you know, that Saudi Arabia money talks. And so who knows? So big spear there from Batista's Taker grab a chair from underneath the ring. Yep.
So you said you wanted to bring trivia back, right?
Yeah. What do you got for me?
How many Undertaker Hell in a Cell matches have there been?
Oh man. That's funny that you even say that, because like in the clip I saw, they were talking about Taker and casket matches. And they're like, do you think you've had more casket matches than anybody else? And he was like, yeah, like who the hell is going to have more casket matches than me? And so, God, how many Hell in a Cell? I'm going to guess maybe 8 or 9.
14. Probably
really? Okay, I was going to say I'm probably lowballing it. Okay,
I would have never guessed that high.
Is Bad Blood the highest rated?
Okay, well that's going to be my third. That's going to be my third question for you.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
What is his ranking? I'm sorry. What is his record in those?
Oh man. The great question. 10-4.
8-6.
Ooh, barely batting 500. Oh man.
Now let me give you these all in order from worst to best.
Okay.
There'll be a little controversy as to which one's best. Yeah, you know, the question is the Foley one the best or the Shawn Michaels one?
Yeah.
Personal preference there. Two different matches, but I'll give it to the Foley one because of the spectacle, but man, the Shawn one was good. Worst one was Boss Man at WrestleMania.
Oh God, I was hoping it wasn't going to be the worst. Of course,
my boy. There was another one that was Austin and Undertaker versus Mankind and Kane on Raw. And it's kind of just a shotgun one before that match.
Okay.
Punk Undertaker 2009, Kane Undertaker 2010, Undertaker Shane at WrestleMania 32. Now we're at 9. Undertaker Orton at Armageddon 2005. This one is ranked 8.
Hmm.
7 okay. Is the 6-way match, the one where Rikishi fell off the cage. A Lesnar match in 2015. Those guys were great. The Edge SummerSlam match, which was great. Taker Lesnar in No Mercy 2002 was 4. 3 was the Triple H match at WrestleMania, which was incredible. So, and then 2 was Shawn and 1 was Foley. I don't disagree. And yeah, man, I mean, you start thinking about it, like you think, how was this eight? But I mean, shit, Triple H was definitely three. The Lesnar match was awesome. Edge match was awesome. So dude, he's just been in incredible Hell in a Cell matches, but I can't believe it's been that many.
Yeah, Batista bleeding at this point too. Yeah. Well, that's crazy. If you're going to put this one at number eight, like, yeah, that I get it. Like, you know, the top two are interchangeable in a lot of ways, but yeah, that like, that's crazy to think just like, I didn't realize how, just how many he had had. And so, but then you got to remember, like, you know, WrestleMania streak and all this other stuff. And so he, you know, he'd been around that long to have that many. So, I guess, has he wrestled more than anyone, I'm guessing then?
He has to be the most.
I was going to say, you figure maybe like Orton or Triple H or Michaels are probably up there too, but also like, yeah, I don't know. Like that's,
he can't be close. I mean, I know it's the most, but I mean, Triple H might be number two actually.
So, okay. All right. So these guys just kind of Taker's been kind of dominating to this point. You kind of work in Batista. We had some chair shots. We had some, we're on the outside a little bit here. It looked like Batista bleeding from his mouth as well too. I did read, I don't know if you saw the rationale for, and we noticed it over the last couple of weeks, the rationale for why they want the TV-14 rating is, to deal with the holy shit chance. And if you notice over the last, so they've been bleeping it more. And it's because, so that, you know, while we talked about, oh, they're going, like, there was all those rumors, oh, they're going back to, you know, the Attitude Era, and they're going to, we're finally going to get blood again. No, it's because fans can't stop chanting holy shit, and they want to make sure that they don't have to bleep at every other line.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Very interesting.
Is that or Taker trying to walk the rope and Batista countering it there?
So, in like the history of wrestling, has anything went from being cooler to lamer than the Survivor Series 5-on-5 matches?
Oh man. Like it's just
like they, like you go back and you watch like the first, they weren't all pretty, but like they led to some pretty cool moments, like a Hogan team and an Andre team and, you know, Soul Survivors and the Undertaker debuting and heels versus baby faces. And, you know, there were some like good matches and good moments in Survivor Series over the years.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden it just sucked. Like, I mean, the Raw versus SmackDown things have, I mean, there were a couple that were okay, but by and large have sucked. Like the one on this card was just awful. Like why even bother? But it's just crazy. Like I can't think of any other concept. Like Hell in a Cell is so cool. Ladder matches are so cool. Elimination Chamber is so cool.
They made Extreme Rules cool again.
Royal Rumble's cooler than ever.
Yeah.
War Games is back, right? Like it's rare for something to like just end up sucking. But like I can't even think of anything else that's like been ruined like over the years. I mean, if they brought back King of the Ring, like it would still be okay. Like it wouldn't be horrible.
Yeah, I think maybe with Triple H, we will start to see some more of these things because I think we kind of have to. And so, but I think that, yeah, kind of, well, I said like Extreme Rules, I sent you that chart that showed over the years, like how many of the matches on the card actually had some kind of stipulation or extreme, you know, stipulation to it. And this year it was 100% again. And so, I think that this is the concept. It's just tough of, you know, anymore too, with so much of the industry, we talk about stakes and having stakes to some of these matches. And over the years, they just have not given these matches stakes, like brand supremacy. Like, sure, you know, I want to see NXT win, but at the end of the day, do we really care if Raw beats SmackDown or SmackDown beats Raw? No, like it's such a weird idea when you think about it. Like, who gives a shit?
And here, I'll give you another thing. All you're doing is making a portion of your product look weak. So if NXT beats Raw, you're like, God, Raw sucks. They lost to the minor leagues.
Yep.
If SmackDown beats Raw, then, you know, USA is like, well, why are you making our show look weak? You know, it's just so dumb in theory.
And I think that plays into it more than it ever has in the past too, of like, cause I saw another, you know, we see the reports. So USA is very happy with what, you know, the ratings and the bumps, and they're actually doing better and things like that, or, you know, they're getting the demographics that they want. And so I think that that has to play more into it. Cause yeah, like you said, like, and I read, you know, after the Fiend debuted, that's why Brock was on that show after, was cause the Fiend is, you know, SmackDown, or Bray is going to be SmackDown. So they brought, you know, Brock to kind of settle that. I'm fine. And it, this is something where we'll probably, you know, hopefully get a draft in the near future here, but I'm fine as well too. If you have certain superstars that, you know, are going to be on certain shows, that's a big blade job there, on certain shows every week. Cause that does give you something to look forward to. And then I'm fine. Like they have been doing, having some rotating people. Okay, fine. Put Roman on if you need a ratings pop, like put Brock on if you need a ratings pop, like, man, you know, you put AJ on, you know, if you need a ratings pop, like, you know, have some of these guys that they can be like, not undrafted, but like that can float, that you want to see on both shows, like Bobby Lashley or something like that. Like Bobby Lashley's grown on me a lot, I think, you know, and having that, like Seth, it's time for Seth. Like I was reading an article not too long ago. I think you saw, like, Seth is, well, like for whatever reason, like as much as he is Triple H's guy, and he has been over the years, he has just never been kind of handed the torch like Roman was. And I think it's, you almost got to wonder if Triple H had been put in charge sooner, would Seth have been in the Roman role? I mean, the bloodline's working so well for him, but then also, like, you know, would Seth have been the torchbearer for the last year or year and a half, however long it's been? Big superplex there. That was a good move. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, just kind of, and I've said it before, I keep saying it, I think we're still in that trip, establishing what he wants, like the stuff with Scarlett and Karrion Kross and, you know, the, you know, mid, you know, there's some longer, it's been one of the reasons AEW keeps, is they don't have a whole lot of build to any of their stories right now. It's like, you know, on Dynamite one week, you get, you know, they set up a match for the following week, but it's like the one-off for that stuff. And so he is dripping blood right now. So, yep, he is all over the place. So, but at least with WWE, I think it's Triple H starts to build some of these characters. Like, you got to remember too, like Austin Theory still hasn't cashed in his money in the bank as of recording. And so they've still got the money in the bank. Like you're seeing some of these guys start to go over a little bit, you know? So I think that I think Triple H has a lot more potential of what he can do versus what Tony Khan can do.
Man, I got like eight things to reply with that.
Go ahead.
Yep. First of all, AEW in my mind, and again, this isn't like me being an AEW hater, and it's just my opinion. You know, it's like you say something bad about AEW, and it's like, why do you always defend the WWE? I'm just telling you my opinion as a fan. Okay. Yep. My opinion as a fan is that AEW is very stale right now. There's nothing that I really care about. The MJF thing fizzled out. Jericho is overexposed. Brian, he wrestles good matches, but what's he really doing? Hangman, don't care. Bucks and Omega, gone. Cole, gone. I mean, I could go on. Moxley, tired old act. Like, what matches am I craving to see? I actually just don't think AEW is interesting. And these dream matches, like, I don't love wrestling. I don't love wrestling in a way where I can watch two guys in tights, like fake fight each other and be like, this is absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't care about either guy. Like, so like some of this shit, like I just don't care. Why should I care about these people? Develop their character, give them something. Like, you know, when I learned about Eddie Kingston's background, I cared about him. Therefore, I cared about his matches. Like,
yep.
You know,
yep.
Punk, return. Okay, I got it. Coming back, gone forever. Like, I cared about it. Like, I just, man. So I think they're really, really, really struggling. And I think it's really stale. And again, yeah, they get a million people to watch it. It's a good second product. It is what it is. But in terms of growing and getting better, it's just not. So anyways, that's that. You mentioned the draft. I mean, I guess, yeah, you need to shuffle rosters, but like, I'm really curious. Oh, huge last ride. Taker bleeding now too.
Taker have enough left to somehow crawl toward the cover.
Yeah, he is. So like, is Triple H going to do something completely different with the draft? The draft has gotten lame. It sucks. So like, what do you do? Do you actually do a full draft again? And you have two GMs that make picks. Do you just do trades between them? Do you have executives from USA and from Fox that are actually picking the rosters? And then you don't have two GMs. Are you going to do like a full draft, like from the very beginning? Can each, like, can they do protections like they do with expansion teams? There's a lot to figure out there. I don't have the answer, but I you got to rethink it and try something different. So I'm in favor of that. The other thing, you know, again, 2020 hindsight, but wouldn't it have been wise for them to have said, we're going to have three brands. We're going to have the WWE, we're going to have WCW, and we're going to have ECW. Instead, you know, Raw and WWE is one thing. We're going to have Nitro as the second show, and then we're going to have ECW, call it whatever you want, as the third. ECW would be what NXT is now. You'd go gritty. You'd go, you know, just great performances. You do some out of the ring stuff, some no rule stuff, you know, some shenanigans. But then the reason I say there's value in that is then all of those ECW pay-per-views and those WCW pay-per-views, they'd have more value because they'd build on the history of it. So in the history of Halloween Havoc, we've never seen this. Then you'd have Starrcade. I mean, I just think there's a lot they could have done with those other than just parked a bunch of dusty tapes on Peacock for marks like us to watch. So then you could have done something with Survivor Series. Once a year, it's WWE versus WCW. Can you ever get the Monday Night Wars type heat going? No, but at least there's something there. Like, holy shit, Chris Jericho's back in WCW. Wow.
I like the idea. I think the thing you have to be careful of, and this is, you know, and I agree with this, is how many promotions are a part of AEW right now? Like, there's too many to count.
You have, you know, Dynamite and Rampage. You have ROH.
Through the table. What a match we've just seen, Michael.
Oh, he's got to get more.
Right, both guys doing it like crazy. Nope.
He's the bomb through the table. I mean, these guys just beat the shit. You see what I mean? These guys, for whatever reason, these two had great chemistry.
Yep. They've been working real hard. Crimson Mask on Batista, too. Yeah, well, you've got all these different shows, and I thought...
And how many belts do they have?
Yeah, I don't know.
Between the AEW and ROH, I mean, honestly, how many titles are there? 15?
I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing. And, okay,
two
so...
Orange three Cat- women's, two world titles. There's North America... TNT, TBS, couple tag team titles, trio titles.
Yeah. Well, okay, so Orange Cassidy beat Pac for a belt, one of his belts.
What belt was that?
I don't remember. Like, that's the thing. And I thought it was interesting, and I, you know, your opinion on this, and we're just kind of, you know, this match is going on, but I read a Reddit post the other day that said AEW has lost a lot of its appeal because when they first started, it was supposed to be the alternative to WWE, that you were getting a different product. You were getting a true wrestling product. It is now a landing site for WWE wrestlers that aren't there anymore. Like, how many people have they signed to AEW?
Everyone. And hold on. We got a tombstone. Is that it?
Ball game. What a hell of a match.
Kick out. Nope.
So, you look at AEW and it's like, you know, okay, you brought in Jericho because, you know, you wanted the name recognition. Moxley, well, he kind of left, but okay. Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, Miro, Adam Cole. Why am I having trouble saying it? Malachi Black.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm missing people too. Paige. So, right, that's got. Oh, Jesus!
Yikes! Tombstone on the steps.
The way he dropped. That's got.
Yep.
Here's the cover. There's Perry. What the hell is that?
And Edge, get involved.
I
Clinton is the cameraman.
Wow. Yeah, but you're, Jeff, you're exactly right. They have all these guys, and it's like, well, I'm not saying you don't bring some of them. Like, hey, but they bring them, and they got nothing for them. They got nothing for Miro. They got, and I know Big Show and Mark Henry aren't full-time people, but those guys aren't around at all. You know, what do you have for, you don't have anything for anyone. I mean, Cesaro barely doing anything. Miro barely doing anything. And it's all, where is, it wasn't the whole point of this, like, alternative. So, like, that's why it's like, Orange Cassidy, I've never seen this guy before. I hadn't really seen much of the Young Bucks before. I hadn't really seen much of Omega before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys I just didn't, and you may be like a big indie wrestler like fan, and be like, oh my god, I've seen every Omega fan match ever. I've seen Young Bucks for years. Well, guys like me didn't. So like that's how you grow. It's like you should be an alternative brand, like MJF. Like that's who you feature.
Yeah, it's really like Edge dragging Batista over to Undertaker and using the cover. Yeah.
So Edge screws Taker.
Rekindling the feud there. Yep. Well, put a bow on it for us. Yeah.
A hell of a match, man. I enjoyed it. Schmuck finish, but really enjoyed it. Let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
Well,
I wish they had a clean finish, but I knew this is what was going to happen, and it's okay. But overall, that was a very, very good match, though.
Yeah, I could watch those two wrestle all day. That was fantastic.
A lot happening. Yeah, absolutely. So before we get into the aftermath, I want to remind everybody of our sponsors. Make sure our title sponsor, giving us the good stuff, manscaped.com, using that promo code payoff20. You get 20% off and free shipping. Everything on the store, anything on the store. We're getting closer to that holiday season. So get your order in now so you can get it before the holidays, get it wrapped up, put a bow on your balls, whatever you need to feel good, look good, all that different stuff. So whether you're buying for yourself, buying for somebody else, whatever it might be, definitely get that stuff ordered as soon as possible at manscaped.com using our promo code payoff20, payoff20. Now, as well too, don't forget the classic tees, trueclassic.com. We've got our promo code there as well too, just payoff25. Make sure you're using that one as well too. That's 25% off instead. Everything in the store from there as well too. Great shirts, athletic wear, whatever you're looking for. They got all kinds of good stuff for the holiday as well too. Make sure to check them out. That's trueclassic.com. Use the code payoff25 today. So, all right, aftermath on this one. Yeah, I think that you get Batista, of course, retaining his belt because Edge getting involved with the match in this one. He had been hiding as the camera guy for this one. And so afterwards, you actually had Undertaker. There was a triple threat match with these guys as well too, because Undertaker, he actually tombstone Vicky Guerrero. It was part of the storyline as well too, because Edge was working with her at this point as well too. And so it was Armageddon with Edge winning the title that just about a month later as well too. So at Royal Rumble, you had Batista being the final three before being eliminated by Triple H. Then he ended up having an Elimination Chamber match, being eliminated from that one as well too. And then WrestleMania, that was 24, beating Umaga on that. And so then you had him getting into the after Shawn beating Ric Flair, his feud with Shawn Michaels and their stretcher match, which also back in our archives, make sure to go check that one out as well too. And so, both guys just, kind of involved, like the story kind of continued a little bit here. And so, Batista was 13 in 2007. You had Undertaker at number 5, 3.5 stars from the Torch, a good Hell in a Cell match, not the best ever. however, as these two are somewhat limited athletically without a smaller guy to create movement. But there were some nice reversal spots, and Taker's triangle choke spots were well done. The blood from both added to the intensity. The finish will set will upset some people because it wasn't a clean finish, but Edge has been gone long enough, and in a face-to-face matchup where we've had clean finishes before, this was a worthy way to transition away from it without leaving either top babyface proven to be better than the other. Observer Newsletter gave this one 3 stars. Guys worked their asses off, and the match was far, far from horrible, but it was probably the worst of their series, and the finish killed not just the main event, but left me with a bad taste after what had been an awfully good show. 3.5 and 3. What are you thinking here, Tom?
Give me a 7.
Okay.
The match was really good, man. Like, really, really good. And yeah, I mean, it wasn't, you know, I don't know. I like this feud. I like the match. I thought it was a really good Hell in a Cell match. I thought they beat the shit out of each other. I liked it a lot. So again, 7, like, good, but it wasn't great. What about you?
I'm going to give it an 8. I'm actually going to go a little higher because I thought they were pretty stiff on this one. I think the use of blood was well done. Like, we're always not a big fan of that, but sometimes we're, even you and I are like, oh man, like, that's rough. And so this was well done. I thought they did a good job of how they used it. And so I thought that there was no complaints for me on that. And then I think they just work stiff. And like I said, I'm a big fan of, like, you know, as Big E says, and I subscribe to this a lot, he's like, I don't need to give you a 5-star match. Sometimes you just want to watch, you know, big meaty men bumping meat. And that's exactly what we had on this one, is these guys just kind of going at it. And just a good wrestling match. That's all it was. And so I'm just happy with this. I enjoyed this more than I thought I would. Who knew? And so, like I said, we have seen some better matches from these guys, but it's still a good match. So yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Well,
final thoughts. What do you got? It's Survivor Series week too. Like, it's a big week. And so, yeah, final thoughts.
No, I'm glad that we've pumped a little bit of life into Survivor Series. That's it needed it, man. I thought we were going to have to drag it out back and shoot it. So right. I'm glad that Survivor Series is back. And, you know, I mean, look, they really want to, you know, have these anchor pay-per-views. I mean, obviously Money in the Bank was a bust this year in terms of having it in the stadium, but you know, these big stadium shows. So, you know, can you get Survivor Series to the point where you can do it in a, you know, arena? I bet you they try next year. I could see it in a, you know, War Games in a baseball stadium next year. So, yep. Which I like, man. I think in a perfect world, man, if you could get, you know, 4 to 6 shows a year that are stadium shows, like WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, maybe you get Survivor Series, you know, those Saudi shows are obviously big crowds. Maybe you get a Money in the Bank or something in a stadium. I know it's tough to do, but man, it's fun when you're at home watching those shows. They just hit a little bit differently.
Absolutely. So
cool. All right, we'll see you next week on an all-new episode of The Payout.